This morning's first reading is from the book of Acts. The translation is the message from the gateway. You will soon realize it is not the revised standard. The news traveled fast, and in no time the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem heard about it, heard that the non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. "What do you think you're doing, rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited, and ruining our good name?" So Peter started from the beginning, laid it out for them step by step. "Recently, I was in the town of Joppa praying. I fell into a trance and saw a vision, something like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at its four corners, came down out of heaven and settled on the ground in front of me. Milling around on the blanket were farm animals, wild animals, reptiles, birds, you name it. It was there. Fascinated, I took it all in. Then I heard a voice, 'Go to it, Peter, kill and eat.' I said, 'Oh no, master, I have never so much as tasted food that wasn't kosher.' The voice spoke again, 'If God says it's okay, it's okay.' This happened three times, and then the blanket was pulled back up into the sky. Just then, three men showed up at the house where I was staying, sent from Caesarea to get me. The Spirit told me to go with them, no questions asked. So I went with them, I and six friends, to the man who had sent for me. He told us how he had seen an angel right in his own house, real as his next door neighbor, saying, 'Send to Joppa and get Simon, the one they call Peter. He'll tell you something about that will save your life. In fact, you and everyone you care for.' So I started in, talking. Before I'd spoken half a dozen sentences, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as it did on me on the first morning. I remember Jesus' words, 'John baptized with water, you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' So I ask you, if God gave the same exact gift to them as to us when we believed in the Master Jesus Christ, how could I object to God?" Hearing it all laid out like this, they quieted down. And then, as it sank in, they started praising God. "It's really happened. God has broken through to the other nations, opened them up to life." Word of God, word of life.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise God in the heights. Praise the Lord, all you angels, sing praise, all you hosts of heaven. Praise the Lord, sun and moon, sing praise, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. The splendor of the Lord is over earth and heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away. The splendor of the Lord is over earth and heaven. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind doing God's will. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world, young men and maidens, old and young together. The splendor of the Lord is over earth and heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants. The children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Alleluia. The splendor of the Lord is over earth and heaven.
The second lesson is from the book of Revelations, the same translation. Everything new. I saw heaven and earth new created, gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem newly created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride for her husband. I heard a voice thunder from the throne, "Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He is their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone." The enthroned continued, "Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down. Every word dependable and accurate." Then he said, "It's happened. I'm A to Z. I'm the beginning. I'm the conclusion. From water of life, well, I give freely to the thirsty. Conquerors inherited all this. I'll be God to them. They'll be sons and daughters to me. But for the rest, the feckless and faithless, degenerates and murderers, sex peddlers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars, for them it's lake fire and brimstone, second death." The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel for today comes from John, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God has seen him for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself is glorified. Glory all around. Children, I'm only with you a short time longer. You're going to look high and low for me. But just as I told the Jews, I'm telling you, where I'm going, you're not able to come. Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when you see the love you have for each other." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning. I have something easy for you to do, so stand up. All right. Can you pat your head and rub your tummy? Right? Can you? All right, that's easy enough, right? Can you at least try it? No? Don't want to. It's okay. Most people don't want to look silly like me, so that's okay. Now what if I told you to reverse it? And now what if I said, rub your head and pat your tummy? Oh, it's so annoying, isn't it? But some of you are very good at this. But that sounded super easy, right? Do you think all them could do it? All right, pat your head. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. It sounds so easy though, right? You guys thought it was easy. I said, no way, no how. Well, what if I said these words? This is pretty easy. Love one another. Got it? Easy, right? You got it? So if I said amen, you're going to go love one another, right? I'll never hear anything from any of your parents about how you fought or how you argued. You're going to love one another forever and ever, right? All right then, let's pray. No, guys, it sounds easy, doesn't it, to love one another? Sounds easy, but it's not. And you're going to hear how that's the case in the sermon here in just a little bit. But knowing that loving one another involves more than yourself, there's a song I want to teach you, okay? You guys like to sing, right? Some of you? All right. This is the song. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you'll end up having more. Right? Can you sing that? I'm not expecting you to. That's a lot of words. Because there's another verse that says, it's just like the magic penny, hold on tight and you won't have any. If you share, you're going to have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. Fine. It's a pretty ridiculous song, right? But it's true. Love is something. Give it away. Give it to each other. Share it. Love one another. It sounds so easy, but it's hard. But when you do it, you're going to have so much in your heart that it's going to be like if you took a thing of pennies, we'll do a better analogy. If you took a thing of marbles, threw it down, it would just roll all over. And it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with them. It takes one person to love one another. It's amazing. Christ loved us. Christ loves you. We share that love. It's part of being in a relationship with one another. Pretty cool, huh? Yep. Makes sense? Well, I told you, it sounds easy, but it's not always easy. But just hold on to that. Love one another. If you remember nothing else from today, love one another. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to show us how to love one another. And when we fall short, we know you're there to pick us back up, because you are the one that loves us more than anything in this world. Amen. Thanks for coming up, you guys. You can go start sharing love with one another. Maybe give your brother or sister a hug. Maybe your mom and dad. Maybe grandma and grandpa. Who knows? Just share that love. Share it with one another, this love of God. It's so simple. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This sermon could be the shortest in history because Jesus spells it out. Love one another as I have loved you. And guess what? They're going to know you're Christians if you do that. Amen. Let's sing. Right? Easy. This is the easiest commandment in the book. Or is it? Because, oh my goodness, the more I thought about this, there is so much to unpack. So much to unpack in this. So short, as one of the commentaries say it. Even an infant can remember, love one another. First thing we usually learn is love. It's so easy. I'm going to give you an explanation from my point of view, and maybe from the Gospels. But first I want you to turn to your neighbor, and then I'm going to ask a couple of you brave souls to tell me, what does this mean? What does it mean to love one another? Because I bet everybody's going to have similar and yet different interpretations of what this means. So share with your neighbor, because I want to hear. This is kind of like a text study Sunday. We're going to learn this text together. And don't worry, I came prepared. Don't think I'm just making this up. I have a place to go. But we're going to do this together. What on earth does love one another mean? You guys too, I can see you. This is easy. It's three words. So easy. All right, choir, who would like to tell me how you're supposed to love one another?
Unconditionally.
Ooh, good word, big word. Unconditionally. Did you have another one?
Be kind and gentle.
Ooh, be kind and gentle. Unconditionally, be kind and gentle. How about you guys? Anything? Put somebody's needs above your own. How about one or two more? Anybody else? Future seminarian? Hugs. Good. Yes. Anybody else? Non-judgment. Anybody in the balcony got something good? No? All right. Easy, right? And yet you just heard right there about five different ways to love one another. It's easy. It's so easy. And yet, love is not easy. It's never been, and it feels like it never will be easy. The Norwegians would say, ufta. It's not easy. So knowing that, knowing what you understand it to be, one more time, turn to your neighbor and tell him, what holds us back? What holds us back from doing this? Because if it's that easy, if you know the words, you know what to do, what is holding you back from loving your neighbor? Good luck. Maybe this was easier than thinking about what love is. You can think about what holds us back. So a couple people, what holds you back? Rejection can hold you back from loving somebody else. Anybody else over here? Selfishness can hold us back from loving one another. Absolutely. Anger can hold us back from loving one another.
Laziness.
Absolutely, laziness can hold us back from loving one another. You know, it's almost easy to find ways that hold us back. It's spelled out. Do this. And yet there's something that holds us back. We all have what I'll call love barriers. And some of you mentioned them. Ourselves versus others. Broken relationships. In a broken family, how are you supposed to ever love each other again if you've been broken? In the church, there are so many different denominations, so many different beliefs, so many different understandings of the scripture, but we come together in Christ. But if I asked all of you, what does this mean? Some of you would come up with different things, and sometimes that can hold us apart from loving one another. Our individual beliefs of what's right or wrong. Politics can hold us apart from loving one another. How can we ever love a conservative? How can we ever love a liberal? And how in the world can we ever love somebody in the middle? How can we ever love a Packer fan? How can we ever love that Viking fan? Sin is a barrier that keeps us apart. Brokenness, knowing that we are very broken. Doubt can keep us apart. And what if we've never been loved in our life? How can you love another? How can we share this love of Christ, this easy thing that he's talking about, from our point of view versus another? How am I supposed to say, how can we cross that line and say, yes, this is what I love you for who you are. This is where I'm coming from. But what about the other two? Love one another. Easy, right? Piece of cake. And how can we love if you've never been loved? We're not alone in this struggle of, yes, we know what to do, but there's so much in our way. The first lesson from Acts, Peter is unsure. You want me to love them? You want me to eat their meat? Because that's wrong. I'm not supposed to eat that unclean stuff. Never have I ever touched a bird that's unclean. You expect me to do that now? And yet, like in good Peter fashion, three times, God points out, yes, 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 yes. I've crossed those barriers. You crossed those barriers into the unclean food. The Jews and Gentiles, those that were chosen and now those that have come into the chosen. Even those that followed Jesus and heard this firsthand struggled. They did. and yet they're part of the body of Christ. Even as Christ is on his way and knows full well he's been betrayed by one of his friends, he's about to suffer, he's about to die, he's still reaching across those barriers. Barriers that were up even in the early church. There are so many things in our lives that make it hard for us to love one another. But Jesus makes it look so easy, like doing this sometimes. So easy. He's full of compassion. He reaches out to those that would never be reached out to. He raises the dead and Lazarus. He cries with us. He's with the sick, the tax collectors, and yet even he's with his betrayer. He shares in the bread with him, sends him off. Even on the cross in one of the Gospels, he flat out says, "You are forgiven. You are with me and today in paradise. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." How I don't think if I was dying and somebody was killing me, I could look down and say, "I forgive you for killing me. It's okay." But he lays it all down and comes back in the glory that he talks about in the gospel today. But it's not easy. It's deep and it's complicated. And we've pointed that out in plenty today. So what next? Do we give up because it's hard? It might seem impossible. What are we supposed to do next? But as Christians, we're hopeful. And there's the promise of a resurrected Christ. No longer do we tackle this alone, this struggle of loving one another. Revelation reminds us, and this is the reason we read from the message today, that he has crossed barriers. Christ, God, is in the neighborhood. He's here. He's now. He's not somewhere far away. He's here with us. Christ crossed those. God is here. Those boundaries have been crossed. What used to separate us, the great description of the curtain being torn in two, nothing separates us from the love of Christ. No barrier. All parts of the body of Christ, we're all part of it. In the head, Jesus' love continues to love. It never gives up. I was reminded of these words from a song that we sometimes sing on Wednesday night, that your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And believe me, it is not easy to love us. It isn't. Yet God doesn't give up. So should we? Should we just give up? No, this is the time that we can love one another, not to give up on one another. Even when it's not easy, God commands us, love one another. Such a simple three-word command, and yet so hard. So two questions I want you to take home. Take home these, and be honest with yourself. How is this challenging, love one another? And how is it hopeful, looking forward? Commandments aren't easy. I could go through all 10 of them, and now this 11th one. But they're about relationships, about each other. It's not about how we're going to be saved in those, but how we can live with one another. What if we could love one another? So I want to close with this reading from Colossians 3, verse 12 through 16. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item in your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized, the unclothed, slaved, free, mean nothing. For now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is in Christ. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be ever tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Love one another. Easy, right? Easy. But hold on to that. Don't give up. Be ever hopeful. Thanks be to God. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sustain and surround you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen.